Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, according to the CDC, about 1 in 5 married women in their childbearing years experience infertility. That's defined as being unable to conceive after 1 year of trying.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Every time I hear 19%. That statistic is substantial.
Yeah, a host of things can lead to infertility. Often people who are looking to get pregnant consider IVF as a way to conceive. But before going the route of IVF or other assisted reproductive technologies, some people consider intrauterine insemination, also known as IUI and sometimes called artificial insemination. It's less expensive and less invasive than IVF, but the success rate is not so great.
All right, enter Femisys, a publicly traded biomedical company working on a more effective method of IUI. Femisys, by the way, a microcap with a market cap of about $36 million. Kathy Lee Sepsic is founder, president, and CEO of Femisys, and joining us from a WeWork in California. We like to say it because it's just kind of interesting. We've been talking about WeWork a little bit in our world. Kathy, great to have you here with us. Just, you know, again, tell us a little bit more about your company. It is a very small microcap company. Tell us a little bit more about all the work you guys are up to.
So, I mean, Femisys' mission from day one has been to advance medical technologies for specifically for women. And we've looked at those underserved areas where there just has been a dearth of innovation. And we've been, battling this and bringing things forward for about 20 years now.
So late last month, Femisys announced data from a trial that showed how effective your method of IUI is. We're talking about Femiseed. Tell us what exactly Femiseed is and how it's, in your opinion, revolutionizing the way IUI is done.
So Femiseed was designed to augment what naturally occurs for fertilization. So the travel that sperm needs to make, the journey, is to get to the egg. And the egg is located in the fallopian tube. So for Femiseed, what we do is we place sperm, an aliquot, into the fallopian tube. And we design this product so that every reproductive endocrinologist, even their mid-level practitioners, or OB-GYNs at large could perform it. And that's the premise of the product, is to look at the front end of care where we're not requiring egg extraction or multiple injections, but we're able to augment that fertilization process and to bring hope to women.
Is it an actual medical device or is it a procedure, a process?
It's a medical device that allows for the artificial insemination procedure.
And what's the data that you have at this point? As I mentioned, this trial last month, the data that you have at this point that shows that, at least in your trials, it is more effective when it comes to conception than traditional IUI.
So we looked at actually a pretty challenging segment to establish efficacy. We looked at low male sperm count. And so, as I mentioned, the journey, the natural biological process, is for sperm to enter into the fallopian tube. So when you have less sperm to work with, which unfortunately is a worldwide dilemma. It's been established that less than 50% sperm counts exist in all male age categories around the world. This is a problem that's going to continue. And so we looked at that particular segment and we were able to establish that 24% of women that fell into that category where there wasn't actually a known fertility factor for her, it was the male factor that was contributing. And we showed that, 24% of women actually were able to benefit from the procedure and get pregnant.
So, Kathy, is this something that you think could replace IVF essentially? Give me some more information in terms of, who you guys would be targeting with this, or is this kind of a first round, first step before maybe somebody considered IVF?
So we definitely see it as a first step in the process. There are certain categories of women that are definitely appropriate for IVF. She has a genetic disorder. She clearly should have her eggs screened. But for the majority, we feel like this is an ideal option for people because it's cost effective, it's convenient, and we'll be able to be at that front end when that those are major issues that people are contending with.
What does it cost? What would it cost for someone to do this?
So it'll be incremental to just a standard IUI. So we're talking in the few thousands as opposed to a couple thousand as opposed to, you know, 30,000 for an IVF on average.
That's pretty standard for IUI though, right?
Yeah, it's pretty standard. So the only difference will be the cost of the device. The overall procedure costs are as they are.
Talk to us pretty a little bit. Yeah, talk to us a little bit about the regulatory process right now, because when we're talking medical devices here, I mean, this is a long road when it comes to the path.
Yeah, it's been 20 years for me, so it's been pretty long.
Okay.
But for Femicide, we were actually able to work with the FDA and get the device approved or cleared technically back at the end of September of last year. That was a bit of a road that we traveled with them. It also is why we have all of this data, where we were able to run a prospective study and have data available upon a commercial launch. So we are making this product available to women and couples right now, and we're amassing support. As you mentioned, I'm a small microcap company, so we're taking our dollars and pennies and allocating it to this commercial effort, so that we're not just building these amazing products and designing them so thoughtfully that we're actually going to get them in the hands of practitioners so they can attend to their patients' needs.
Hey, Kathy, I want to go back to, and I know you and Tim touched on this earlier, but I'm thinking about people who are watching or listening right now who may be interested in trying to figure out kind of their own course forward, if you will. How is what you guys specifically, how is it different from other IUI methods?
It is entirely different because other IUI methods deposit the sperm into the uterine cavity, which is a very hostile environment. Lots of white blood cells that attack the sperm. We actually deliver the sperm directly into the fallopian tube, which is the ultimate location that the sperm needs to arrive to in order to create conception and pregnancy.
So
that's how we work.
Okay, so it's a different location ultimately where the sperm get deposited, if you will. Having said that, I know when you guys put out this press release and talking about 24% of women pregnant after using Femicide, no new safety concerns are reported. What are the safety concerns, though, that do get reported most when doing it?
So most for we're intrauterine because we deliver into the uterine cavity as far as where the device is placed. What makes us very different is where the sperm actually is delivered to. So the common possible side effects are a little bit of cramping, a little bit of spotting, because the device is actually delivered into the uterine cavity.
It's more invasive, if you will, right? You're going in deeper, essentially.
It's definitely minimally invasive. We go to the exact same location. We just have a catheter that directs the sperm to the tube. So we put a balloon technology, like a balloon catheter, like a Foley catheter, catheters that people are aware of. We just put that balloon in a very specific location within the uterine cavity that allows the sperm to travel from the device into the tube.
If delivering the sperm to this location is so much more effective, then why is it taking so long to develop a way to do this, if this is the effective way to do it?
So there was one other product that was actually approved in 1998, and that product required that the tube, which is about the size of spaghetti, that a wire be placed into that tube and then a catheter to follow. So it's a much more technically difficult procedure, and it has inherent safety risks because you could damage the fallopian tube. No one thought to do it, so that's what all of my IP is around. You know, sometimes the simplest of things are definitely the most valuable, but all of my technologies revolve around putting this type of balloon technology within the uterine cavity, right outside the fallopian tube.
Hey, real quickly, just got a minute left. The political firestorm, if you will, around fertility treatments. What are your concerns about how this product might get caught up in that, certainly when it comes to certain states or municipalities, if you will?
So we kind of come outside of the storm that's happening around IVF.
So far.
But we don't do any egg extraction, and we have no embryo maintenance. We are augmenting the natural process. So this is truly a frontline therapy where someone can engage in this before all of the other requirements of an IVF.
All right.
So we're outside of that storm, but it certainly affects the practitioners and the patient.
Saved you 20 seconds. When does this come to market, real quickly?
It's coming to market right now.
All right. So you've gotten all the approvals and you guys can move ahead.
we can move ahead. Now we're just hiring the appropriate people. And, you know, obviously we're a publicly traded company, so people can follow the progress. But we're trying to very hard to get this available to women right now.
All right, couldn't leave it on that note. Hey, Kathy, thank you so much. Kathy Lee Sepsic, founder, president, and chief executive officer of Femisys. As she said, it is publicly held. It is a small microcap company, if you will. And the stock right now is actually up about 78%.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.